In this edition, we are going to talk about my favorite subject in football, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we're also going to talk about some football history concerning them and some modern era times with the Steelers. We're coming up right now to talk about the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh and some moves that they made here in the spring of 2024. It's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal of positive football history. And Steelers football, has it ever been a better time to be more excited about the Pittsburgh Steelers than here in the spring of 2024 before the draft, with the moves that Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin are making? It's some really exciting time, changing over the entire quarterback room. You know, just to reflect, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph were the three quarterbacks in the Steelers when it ended the season in January and that loss to Buffalo in the wild card game. Now, as we approach the beginning of April, we have Russell Wilson, Super Bowl winner, nine-time All-Pro, and Justin Fields, and coming into his fourth season and really having some great highlights near the end of the 2023 season, really starting to catch wind. Now, these guys are a humongous upside to the quarterback room of what the Steelers had before. But we're going to get into the history of this with the Steelers, because this isn't the first time that they had some real talent in their quarterback room or had a big quarterback shakeup. We're gonna go back in history and take a look at this. Now, let's go back into the 1950s, post-World War II. Now, Walt Kiesling, the Hall of Fame player and coach, is the coach of the Steelers. He had been there quite a while. He had quite a run, and he was a coach earlier in his career there too. It was his second stint as the head coach of the Steelers, and he ran a pretty big quarterback carousel, probably under comparison to what we just saw here in the spring of 2024. Now, it was filled with Hall of Fame legends, all pros, and, you know, just some icons of the quarterback position. Before the 1955 season, Jim Finks, Paul Hite, and a ninth-round draft pick from Louisville, a local kid named Johnny Unitas, and another local arm from Franklin, Pennsylvania, Ted Marchabrota, made up the quarterback room. Now, Unitas did not make the team. They kept Finks and Marchabrota and Hite, and the legend, of course, would get signed on by the Baltimore Colts a bit later, and Johnny U set multiple NFL records and was named the NFL MVP three times in his career, earning spots on 10 Pro Bowl rosters and five first-team All-Pro honors. He helped lead the Colts to four NFL titles. Pretty big mistake by Kiesling and the Steelers letting him go, I would say. But in 1956, the quarterback room was shooken up and consisted of Marchabrota and Jack Scarbeth. 1957, things really started to change. This Pittsburgh quarterbacks compromised the room of Len Dawson, Earl Morrall, and Jack Kemp. Kiesling was demoted to an assistant, and Buddy Parker was brought in as the coach. Now, Dawson was let go in 1959, and the Cleveland Browns signed him for two seasons before cutting ties with him. He became an AFL Dallas Texan who moved to Missouri after 1 year in Big D. He is, of course, enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame after a Super Bowl championship in which he was named the MVP in seven Pro Bowls and two All-Pro seasons with that new team, the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Pittsburgh released Jack Kemp after the 1957 season. He sat out of football for a couple of years and was picked up by the AFL's Chargers. And after a year in Los Angeles and another in San Diego with the Bolts, he signed a contract with the AFL rival Buffalo Bills and led that team to 2 AFL titles, 7 Pro Bowls, and a couple of All-Pro seasons. Now, the Steelers once coveted Earl Morrall, because on September 16th, 1957, Pittsburgh acquired Morrall from the San Francisco 49ers, along with guard Mike Sandusky in exchange for 2 first-round draft picks and linebacker Marv Matuszak. After just one season, the Steelers traded the prize quarterback to the Detroit Lions for another prize, future Hall of Famer Bobby Lane. 1958's Morrall's early season trade left Hall of Famers Bobby Lane and Len Dawson as the remainers signal callers, and the Steelers went 7-4-1 and missed the playoffs. The two stayed in Pittsburgh for 1959, and the team registered a 6-5-1 record, so they backslid a little bit with those two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Now, that's how that quarterback carousel went. Steelers didn't win. In the early 1970s, the Steelers had another big shakeup at the quarterback room. They had 3 potential starting quarterbacks in the early 70s, Terry Hanratty, Terry Bradshaw, and Joe Gilliam. 1973, 1974, all 3 of these signal callers saw starts for the Steelers in both seasons. And at the end of that 1974 season, where they all 3 played and started games, the Steelers won Super Bowl IX, and Bradshaw secured the job as they beat the Vikings. Steelers also had a big shakeup in 1984 with a bunch of signal callers. David Woodley, who was the Dolphins' rookie of the year in 1980 and was recently unseated by a Miami newcomer from Pittsburgh named Dan Marino, arrived in Pittsburgh to compete with Mark Malone for the Steelers' starting quarterback duties, and the team ended up going 10-6 that year. In the 1990s, a lot of talent surrounded the team again. Neil O'Donnell and Bobby Brister battled out for the starting job and went 7-9 in Chuck Noll's final season. These two again were the quarterbacks for the Steelers, improved to 11-5 under first-year head coach Bill Cowher. But Brister exited the next season, and Mike Tomczak came from the Bears and joined the fray with O'Donnell, taking the team to a 9-7 record. They were 12-4 in 1994 and 11-5 in 1995, losing Super Bowl 30 to Dallas, with the younger arms of Jim Miller and Cordell Stewart also joining the quarterback room of the Steelers. Now, in the new millennium, the Steelers took Big Ben Roethlisberger out of Miami of Ohio with the 11th pick of the 2004 NFL Draft, and Big Ben joined youngster Brian St. Pierre and a resurging Tommy Maddox. Maddox gets hurt in that first game against the Ravens. Ben Roethlisberger comes in, doesn't relinquish the starting job for another almost 2 decades. And now we have the plight we're in now. As we told you, Trubisky, the Pickett, and we also had Mason Rudolph, who was a standover from the Roethlisberger days. They're all gone. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are the quarterbacks. And it is exciting because, as the Steelers said at the owners' meetings here just on March 24th, Mike Tomlin was quoted as saying that Russell Wilson is indeed the starter. How good is it to have a proven veteran that has the respect of the locker room, respect of his co-players? I mean, after all, it's reported that Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, and others petitioned Russell to come to Pittsburgh, really helped to get the veteran to come in there. By the way, they're only paying him $1.2 million while Denver's picking up the other $38 million of the salary. What a bargain. Justin Fields, they're paying him just over $3 million, and they got him for a 6th-round pick. So you have the quarterback incumbent, a veteran leader for the now, and you have a guy that plays almost the same game. In fact, Justin Fields says he models his game after Russell Wilson, and you can watch and learn from the veteran how he prepares, how he goes into games, and the decisions he makes. And the offense under Arthur Smith can be the same type for both quarterbacks because they're both the same style of play. They like to use their feet. They like to move around the pocket. They get outside the pocket and they throw the long ball with some touch. So this will be some interesting things for the Steelers, and we're sure excited to see it. But it's not the first time the Steelers have had that quarterback room shaken up. We're so glad you joined us for this little bit of history. And how will the Steelers end up this year? Well, that's to see here in just a few months. But gosh, is it going to be fun to be a Steelers fan? And don't forget about the defense is doing too. With Patrick Queen, help that middle of that defensive linebacking group, and see what they pick up in the draft. It's some fun times to be in Steel Town in football season. Till next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.